It's time to explore wrestling's past and potential future with your weekly dose of a segment we call What If, only found here on the WWE Podcast.
Okay, welcome to another episode of What If. Anthony DeMarco, as always, joins me this week, and we've got a really good topic, really a, I think, pretty relevant topic, a timely topic to talk about John Cena and what if he calls it a career today? What if he ends everything today and he is done with in-ring competition in WWE? So, Anthony, I love this topic. I'm really excited to be able to talk about it with you tonight.
Yeah, and like you said, it's very relevant and probably the most relevant what if we've ever done. And I think it's a pretty pressing question given what went on following his defeat to Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. And as we were talking about right before we went on the air here, a lot of things transpired when SummerSlam went off the air.
Yeah, and I feel embarrassed to be having to ask this because I didn't know that things happened off the air until I saw something float by in social media, and I thought it was somebody just doing a Photoshop job of him F5ing or and really just demolishing John Cena. So tell us about it for those that may not know.
Well, yeah, essentially Cena got taken once again to Suplex City, and Brock capped it off with an F5. And pretty much just destroyed John Cena when SummerSlam went off the air two nights ago. And, you know, like, look, I'll start this off by saying I loved the way that they ended SummerSlam. I think you were the one who tweeted it out that Brock may have single-handedly saved SummerSlam himself with that return. It was awesome. I loved the new look. It was a breath of fresh air. It wasn't just the typical Brock with the military cut, with the track pants and, like, you know, his custom-made t-shirt. It was him as if he literally just walked off of his farm in Saskatchewan, Canada. But, I mean, I think kind of lost in all this and a great return and what kind of seemed to be a babyface version of Brock for the first time since probably 2003 was the fact that John Cena lost as clean as can be to Roman Reigns after one spear, and he hit Roman Reigns with what, three spears, one of which off the second turnbuckle. And then after SummerSlam goes off the air, he gets manhandled and further buried by Brock Lesnar. And, you know, he put out a tweet today that, you know, for now he's going to walk away once again. But, I mean, following all this, is it really that crazy to ask if this was his final appearance in the WWE?
I don't think it's crazy to say. Again, we're doing the hypothetical here. Do I think it's likely? No, because he alluded to in his promo, I think, on SmackDown the night before SummerSlam that, I'll see you at WrestleMania in Dallas. And he winked. It was like a very in-passing comment that he made to Roman Reigns. So I do think he'll be probably at WrestleMania 38 in all likelihood, maybe against Brock Lesnar, perhaps. I mean, we can go down that road eventually. But if he called it a career tonight, today, and when he sent that tweet out, it's, I think, possible. And there's a lot to talk about with good and bad, what that would mean for his career, because we could look back and say, look, you know, this guy has done everything, and he has. But if you also said, well, what if he ended his career today? What matchups would he miss out on at WrestleManias and SummerSlams that we would like to see? So I think there is some good and bad to be said about him ending his career if he did today. And do you think it's likely? Do you think that this is actually a reality? Like, what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't really know where they go from here with John Cena, because when he made the return at Money in the Bank after Roman Reigns successfully defended the championship against Edge, it was like, oh my God, here it is, the final guy to finally step up to Roman Reigns and go toe-to-toe. But then at SummerSlam, it happens with Brock. And I'll preface this by saying that I love Brock. I was so happy to see him. I marked out like a madman. Like, it was awesome. But when I sat back and thought about it, it was just like John Cena just quickly became an afterthought. And then the more I thought about it, I was saying to myself, when's the last time John Cena's won a one-on-one match in the WWE? And I mean, I'm not talking about, I think he may have had some one-off with Elias on Raw, but I mean an actual, like, big-time match. And, you know, I know at WrestleMania 33, he won the mixed tag team match alongside Nikki Bella against The Miz and Maryse, but I'm really hard-pressed to think the last time he won a big-time one-on-one match, and the only thing I can think of is the last time he won the championship against AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble in 2017. So bit by bit, when you make a guy like John Cena just lose big match after big match after big match, and this one being so definitive, like, I know that the whole psychology behind the match was that, you know, Roman was the guy in his prime, you know, no pun intended, but the big dog. But Cena was just going to try and use his, you know, his wit and his veteran capability to outwit Roman Reigns to get the 1-2-3. But I mean, I just felt like for the vast majority of that match, he was just getting destroyed by Roman Reigns. Like I said, Roman Reigns kicks out of 3 F5, or AAs rather, and then he gets pinned after one spear. And I just feel as though that, you know, you're probably right. I'm sure he does come back for WrestleMania in Dallas, but like after so many big time losses and a definitive one at that to Roman Reigns, is he kind of starting to lose, you know, the John Cena aura that we knew maybe 5 to 10 years ago?
Well, there's no question that he's lost some of that aura. I mean, although when you heard the reaction when he returned last month, that, you know, you would probably say, you know, something to the contrary. But he has. I mean, WWE has learned to survive without him. And I don't think that WWE needs John Cena. And I think it's more of John Cena loving the business. I do think he does. He's in the give back part of his career. That's what happens even in a legendary figure as he is. It's the give back part of his career. Like you said, when's the last time he had a big victory? You look at Bray Wyatt. He lost to Bray Wyatt. Undertaker, and I mean, I'm mentioning matches that weren't even really matches, but they happened at WrestleMania. You know, obviously with Roman Reigns here, he has not had a huge victory for many years. At the same time, he's been very sporadically coming in and out and transitioning to Hollywood. So, you know, I have no problem with John Cena doing this the way he has. And, you know, when you look forward, of course, I'm a believer that he's going to be at WrestleMania 38, probably against maybe Brock Lesnar. But my thought, though, is the way that they make him feel a little more fresh, if they want to have some kind of small run with him, turn him heel. Turn him heel. That's really the only thing you could do with John Cena at this point. Maybe they do it at WrestleMania. I think that John is interested in showing the fans that part of his career before he really does hang up the boots for good. So that's, to me, the biggest thing that they can do. There's nothing to lose. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. John Cena is already a first ballot Hall of Famer. You have nothing to lose there other than just increasing ratings, having him being able to work with another top babyface. There's nothing better that you could do with John's career at this point, because it's house money, than turn him heel at WrestleMania.
Like, I don't think they're going to, just because of what he does for Make-A-Wish and all this, and he has to kind of uphold a character now in Hollywood. But assuming that he is done forever, do you think that the way he went out, coupled with what Brock did to him going off the air, hurt the way that we'll remember him and his entire legacy?
No, not even one like iota, nothing. Like, I think that does nothing to hurt him, because when you look at other territories, you look at, when I say territories, I'm talking about other promotions. It is generally, especially in Japan, it is a general rule of thumb that the respectful thing to do when you're on your way out is to lose to the guys that are going to be there. I mean, that makes sense. And I think that's translated over into American wrestling and culture, that it's the respectful thing to do the job for the guy that's leaving. And it makes total sense. And I don't think this affects him at all. He didn't have an embarrassing match. It wasn't Goldberg Undertaker. It wasn't a disaster. It was a fine match. I have no problem with it. And really, for him to be able to come back and put in that kind of performance, even if you don't believe it was a 5-star match, it's still impressive. I mean, the guy is in Hollywood. He's got 1,000 things on his plate, and he's in really good shape and everything else. So I don't think this hurts him at all whatsoever. There's really nothing that this did really to add or subtract. It just kind of kept John Cena's career the way it is, because we knew it was a one-off. We knew that it was just going to be SummerSlam and gone. And he even said that on SmackDown. So I don't think this really hurts him at all. I mean, again, you can make an argument that it does add to his career because it's a match with Roman Reigns, the heel Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. But no, not at all.
I'm just a bit confused because, like, again, assuming that this is his final match, I remember Austin's final match, and it took The Rock 3 rock bottoms to put him down. Mm-hmm. And I know that they're doing a lot to build Roman Reigns as this legitimate, you know, powerhouse, as they should. But I just found it very weird that it was such a dominating performance for Roman Reigns. Because John Cena, in the eyes of many, and you could make the argument, I wouldn't agree, but you could make the argument he's the best of all time. And did you not think that maybe the booking towards the end of the match could have been a bit better to kind of, I'm not shield John Cena a bit or protect him, but just make him look like more of a formidable opponent? Or do you think this was more about just making Roman Reigns look like an absolute powerhouse en route to Brock Lesnar?
Well, I think the biggest priority, number one at the very top, was to build Roman Reigns further. That was and should have been, absolutely should have been the goal, because why would you want to put over a guy that's going to go back to Hollywood the next day? It doesn't make sense. So I hear you, though. I know what you're saying. Like, they could have probably, in hindsight, maybe done a little bit more to make John Cena look like a little bit more of a threat, given his status as a legend and given that he is one of the greatest of all time, or not, maybe not the greatest. Again, very subjective argument there. But perhaps maybe not even – if they weren't even going to do as much offense as they did with John, which was very little – they could have at least protected the AA a little bit more. Thing is, the AA is the most kicked out finish of all time. I mean, like, the AA, I am now conditioned and have been for many years that when I see an AA, it's like a 95% chance that his opponent's going to kick out, especially if it's on a pay-per-view. So I knew that it's going to be at least two, probably three, that it's going to take for John to put Roman down if he was going to, especially when he did the AA from the second rope. And he kicked out still. Now, I know they did that spot with AJ Styles at SummerSlam at 2017. One of the greatest matches at SummerSlam ever. That was so damn good. And I believe it was the opening match that year, too. And when he did that and he kicked out, I'm like, all right, like, cool spot. It was a believable false finish. But nobody cares about protecting the AA. It's that is what I had the problem with.
Well, that's it. And this is not me here saying that John Cena should have won the match. Like, absolutely not. Like, you just don't pull the rug out from a champion on such a great run for a part-timer. You know, CM Punk and The Rock say hi at the Royal Rumble in 2013. It was absolutely the right finish for Roman Reigns to go over. And I liked a lot that they made Roman Reigns do it clean. Because I felt that early on in Roman Reigns' run, it was way too much about Jey Uso getting involved. But now it's been like a string of victories here where Roman's doing it on his own. But that being said, to your point, I just feel as though, like, this guy is billed as one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest in the eyes of many, was the face of the company for a decade, arguably the longest ever in the modern day era of wrestling. And you just have him hit finisher after finisher after finisher, one of which off the second turnbuckle, and they're all kicked out of. And like you said, there was little to no offense. The first, like, 10 minutes was just Roman ragdolling him around. I don't know. I just feel as though, because if he was to come back now, I just feel like his legitimacy has gone down. Because, like, I look at the rest of the card here, assuming this isn't his final call. And I'm saying, like, who is he going to go up against? Like, Drew McIntyre? I guess maybe Edge. But in my mind, I'm saying, like, both those guys have had legitimate big victories in recent months or recent years. You know, Edge beat Seth Rollins. He won the Royal Rumble this year. Drew had arguably the best run in the first half of 2020 during the Thunderdome era. I'm just saying that I feel as though, because they booked Roman so strongly, have they kind of backed themselves into a corner into how legitimate Cena will be if they choose to bring him back again?
I think, well, I'm going to go with the Vince McMahon version of how he views the fans, and that he believes they have the memory of a goldfish, right? Like, 3 seconds, they forget. And I think that fans will. I mean, again, I don't think Cena, we will see him maybe until the Royal Rumble, where he sets something up for WrestleMania, or even into February, leading into a early April WrestleMania matchup, potentially with Brock Lesnar. It could be, hell, it could be Randy Orton. I know we've seen Randy Orton, John Cena a million times, but it's been maybe, what, a decade since we've seen these two fight, and they have a hell of a history. I mean, you could really line up some decent guys for him, or he could work with somebody new like Drew, like you said. So, I don't think that fans will remember the fact that he was ragdolled and pretty much dominated for most of this match, and, you know, got a couple of near falls, but that was pretty much it. Outside of hitting his finishes, he didn't get a whole lot of offense in. So I don't think fans will remember that. I think if they do, it'll be a fleeting thought, and they'll just go back to, well, this is John effing Cena. You know, the second they hear his music, I think John Cena can easily just reestablish himself as a threat to his opponent at WrestleMania. John Cena can talk anybody into believing. I mean, John Cena is so good on the mic. Wasn't great this time around, I got to say. He wasn't the John Cena that I expected to be a mic drop moment. He had some good lines, but I don't know. I know it's kind of off topic. He didn't really blaze on the microphone like he did the first time around with Roman, but that's neither here nor there. I don't think that the fans will remember.
Well, that's a good point, because then I think about, forget about the match. What about the antics that went on after the match, and after the pay-per-view, rather, with Brock taking him back to Suplex City, hitting him with an F5? And I think, like, so what is the image of John Cena compared to Brock Lesnar nowadays? And I think that now, in the eyes of WWE, Brock is almost their marquee star beyond Roman Reigns. So do you think that maybe, match aside, they could have gone without the antics following the pay-per-view going off the air? Or do you think this is all about booking Brock to be so damn strong because they have to prime him up for how good Roman Reigns has been over the last 12 months?
That's an interesting question, because it could be that John Cena was just used as a prop. You know, use as a body to make Brock Lesnar look like a monster and send the crowd home happy. They got to see an F5. They got to see some German suplexes, and they didn't want to do it on Roman yet. And I get that. Many people were disappointed that he didn't hit him with an F5. And I was too, because I want to see Roman get his ass kicked. And that's the biggest compliment I can give Roman. So, when he left the ring and people were booing, I totally understand why they wanted to send the crowd home happy that, hey, there's a carcass in the ring. Let Brock Lesnar ragdoll it around. That's what people want to see with Brock. They don't want to see him just stand there. And so I think this may not lead to anything. We may pretend, and John Cena, when he comes back and probably the end of the year, early next year for WrestleMania, that it'll never be mentioned again, and it won't be even remembered. But they do at least have footage, and they at least have something that if they want to go back to it, they can. They left themselves open to either use it or not use it. Interestingly, though, I'm curious to see how Brock Lesnar does on the mic without Paul Heyman. I mean, that is going to be an interesting. I know that's not the topic at hand here, but I don't know. That just a thought there.
Well, another thing is, it was funny, because before SummerSlam happened, I wanted to talk about what if Brock Lesnar came back as a babyface, and obviously we had to kind of call an audible in light of what happened. But I guess a short one here. Is Brock Lesnar now a babyface?
I think he has to be. I think, and here's where things get deep for me in a good way, and it's hard not to go off topic here, but since you posed the question, I'll very quickly say it's hard. It's really, really difficult here because there's so many avenues with Brock back. The fact that he came back, he faced off against Roman, the crowd reaction was spot on for being a babyface. I like Brock better as a heel, but I understand the Brock Lesnar babyface sprawl. There's not really much difference between Brock of being a heel and Brock being a babyface. He doesn't say a whole lot with Paul Heyman's there to speak for him. He stands there most weeks and looks, gives a mean face, bounces around, and leaves. I mean, that's been most of what he's gotten paid to do. And so I think that, yes, he's a babyface because who else is Roman going to face right now, especially since the brand split hasn't happened yet, or rather the draft hasn't happened yet. Things haven't gotten shaken up. Who is Roman going to work with on SmackDown for the next month or two? You know, so I think Brock Lesnar poses a nice kind of, I hate, not really a hold me over, because he very easily could drop the belt to Brock. I don't know the contract that Brock has signed. You know, maybe it's through the end of the year. Maybe it's just a month or 2 months. Maybe it's a year. So I think Brock, out of everyone he's faced so far, Brock poses the biggest threat to that Universal Championship, bar none, right now. So, yes, he is a babyface, but where I wanted to get deep was, and I'll just leave it here, what if they, you know, joined forces and had a 2021-2022 version of the two-man power trip? You know, just a thought.
Yeah, well, we could save that for another show,
right?
Because as we know, last week we had a 2-4 for the crowd. But I guess going back with John Cena, you said that he was used as a prop, and I really like that because it seems now that it's like three pay-per-views in a row that, you know, WWE goes with the same theme. Like we saw Roman go over on Cesaro and then Edge come back as like he's the new big threat. Then he goes over on Edge and then Cena comes back and he's the new big threat. And then it was like the next step and seemingly the final step up to Brock Lesnar. And if this is Cena's final, I guess, appearance in WWE, and he does call it a career, I guess for me, I'm more just stirring with the fact that it would be like the first time that John Cena was not the final step, like the final mountain to conquer. And I guess I kind of equate it to when John Cena kind of retired The Rock. Like, I know there's still rumors that he'll come back against Roman. I do think eventually we will get to that. But it's been 8.5 years since The Rock has been back in any real somewhat full-time capacity or even part-time capacity. And it was like The Rock was the last coronation for John Cena to be anointed as that generation's face. Like, we already knew it, but in, you know, just for assurance, The Rock was the last guy. But now it's like Roman, we thought it was going to be Cena, but now with Brock coming back, it's not going to be Cena, which isn't a bad thing. I love Brock, but I mean, I guess I'm just struggling with the fact of like, and I'm not even a big John Cena guy, and that's the best part about this, but I'm just kind of like, oh my God, it's like, it's kind of like hitting you like a ton of bricks that like, oh my God, making me feel really old. John Cena's not the top of the mountain guy anymore. He's not the standard anymore. And I guess that's why I'm kind of struggling with like, does this affect his legacy? Like, I know Vince goes with the mindset that wrestling fans don't remember, but I guess for a guy like me who thinks so much about lineage and history and legacies, I'm just thinking like, man, is this going to make me think back ill will of John Cena in a way?
Yeah, no, I hear you, you know, and I think you are the rare breed of wrestling fan that does this. I mean, I can tell you Creative doesn't do this. I can tell you Vince McMahon doesn't do this. I can tell you that they count on you, that your group of fans doesn't be a vocal majority, and you're not. I would say that most fans don't care and that they're not going to change their view. But for fans like yourself, and you know, to some degree, I'm that way too. I mean, I don't think, you know, John Cena was the top of the mountain. John Cena was the top of the mountain for, 10, 15 years in WWE? He was the guy because nobody could replace him. He was. And famously, when Roman and John Cena faced each other in 2017, the best line of that promo, the best mic drop part that was true is that he told Roman Reigns, "You should be ashamed that I am a part-timer because I could do this part-time better than you could ever do this full-time." And he said, "You should be ashamed that I'm a part-timer because you can't do your job," saying that I have to come back to save this company's ass because you're not filling the shoes that I left. And it's kind of true, but you know, it is true. The fact that, you know, John Cena is no longer the top of the mountain, the thing is, he hasn't been the top of the mountain for quite some time. I mean, ever since he has dipped into Hollywood and bowed out of wrestling, unless it's special occasions like WrestleMania or SummerSlam, I don't think most fans are going to look at this as kind of a sad moment or a concerning moment for his career and how we look at it, because we all expected, if you're, you know, a wrestling fan with half a brain, you knew that John Cena coming back was most likely not going to result in him being a universal champion and that he was here to simply help elevate Roman Reigns. I didn't hear anyone, anywhere calling for the fact that John Cena is going to win the championship, and here's why. I didn't hear it at all. So, I mean, I don't, with that expectation, you know, going in, well, he's not going to he's not going to win, right? Like, you know that John Cena is not going to win the championship. He's here to have a, you know, a kind of a spectacle match, a quote dream match with Roman to help elevate Roman and have some cool near falls, some good promos, and he's going to go back to Hollywood. So I think that the standard of how most fans view John Cena, the lens in which they look at him through now is more of, and they've accepted it, a part-time guy that's going to come in and have big matches on big pay-per-views.
Do you think he ever breaks Flair's record?
Yes. I think he does. And I think he – well, number one, Ric Flair, since he's no longer in the company, he's with AEW. I think that there is maybe a little bit more of a motivation to do that. I think that John Cena does do it. And then let me say this. If he does do it, I really sincerely hope that it's in a heel role. So I know that I'm in the fringe minority here because most people don't think that he'll break the record. And I don't think most people believe that he'll ever turn heel. So I'm going on two really fringe ideas combined. So this probably won't happen. But if it does, that's how I'd want to see it. I think it will. And I think it will be at a WrestleMania as it should be. And I think it should be in a heel role, but I don't think it will be. I think the most likely scenario is that he doesn't break it, and then the next likely is that he breaks it as a babyface, and then the least likely, which is the one I want, which is a heel breaking it, and then he could brag that he's the most celebrated champion of all time, and you people don't respect him. I mean, there's a whole litany of things he could say.
Yeah, the only thing with him going heel would almost kind of require him to come back for a semi full-time run.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just have him turn heel, win the championship, and then drop it back, and then everyone's just like, what? He's finally heel after 20 years, and you're just going to pull the plug so quickly? That's why I'm doubtful it will happen, because I don't think that he can come back for or commit to anything else of just what his, you know, normal character is. Like, we've seen that with The Undertaker, the godforsaken Goldberg. Like, they just come back and play the characters that the vast majority of fans know and want to see. And that's why I'm a bit trepidatious in saying that he'll be heel. But I do think he'll break the record, and I think he should. You know, I'm not a huge John Cena guy. I respect the hell out of him, though. And I think that of all the guys who could have broken it, he's a guy that deserves it. And I guess that kind of leads us into the final like question is, I guess even if he doesn't come back and he doesn't break the record, where does he ultimately fall among the greats? And for me, he's a shoe-in for the Mount Rushmore, because I think just his longevity and the fact that the guy was able to make a character work as the top babyface and just get booed for 10 years straight. I just, at a certain point, it just kind of became funny and commonplace to me. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, what would it be without the John Cena sucks? Like, you know, like, he made it work in a way that no one else could. And you saw the babyface Roman Reigns just drown in it. They tried, I think, to go with the same approach that John Cena had, but Roman just couldn't hack it, and eventually he did turn heel, won the best thing that ever happened to that character. But I mean, I guess it's just I respect what John Cena was able to do with it and just make it work. And, you know, he was the first ever guy to experience something like that, because before John Cena, the internet wasn't a thing. People didn't all like get behind maybe trends. And, you know, back he was coming from an era that was PG-14, and then he was the face of the new era. So he did something and experienced something that we had never seen before. And I guess it just gave me a lot of respect for him. So for me, he's a shoe-in on Mount Rushmore, probably beside, it's weird, right? Like Austin for sure, probably Hogan, and then Rock or Undertaker, take your pick. But how about you? Where does he fall for you?
Well, I've been pretty consistent about my Mount Rushmore of stars, and this is always just so difficult. And, you know, but here my four are Hogan, Rock, Austin, Taker. You know, I think that those individuals had the biggest impact on the business, and all of them were preceded superseded by John Cena. So you could argue that they laid the path for John Cena and that kind of thing. But certainly, I would not argue with anybody that wants to put John Cena on their Mount Rushmore. I think you know, and he could be substituted out. If I was going to substitute one person out, perhaps you could substitute him out for Hulk Hogan. Even as big as he was in the 80s, you know, you could, I guess, substitute him out because of how long John Cena stuck around, for how much he contributed to the business, for how much, like you said, he fought through all the boos of my demographic, the male 18 to 40, just booing their face off because John Cena was the embodiment of the opposite of what they loved about what era they just came out of, with Rock and Austin and beer and middle fingers and, you know, blood and chair shots, to a guy that comes out and cracks jokes, tries to be funny, wears, you know, colored shorts and jorts. I mean, it's it was such a stark contrast that they were essentially booing the WWE's mission to change, and John Cena was kind of the symbolic change for WWE, where it was a much softer, and they changed the STFU to the STF and the FU to the AA, and you know, John Cena, you know, he just altered his character around the WWE mission and what they had done to the PG era. So I absolutely respect John Cena. I think the difference between John Cena getting booed and Roman Reigns getting booed is that John Cena could talk himself out of it, that John Cena seemed to understand himself a little bit more. He had more confidence. He was 100 times better on the microphone at that point than Roman Reigns was. So he and I think in some ways he was a better performer, in some ways. I know there's the five moves of doom and everything like that. But yeah, Hogan, Rock, Austin, Taker has been my four for quite some time, but hey, I'm not arguing with anybody that wants to put John Cena on.
My God. You know, just thinking back through John Cena, all of his rivalries, and you said something there, the five moves to doom, but I really felt like he kicked that narrative in his rivalry against AJ Styles. And I know it's crazy to say, and maybe it's a bit of recency bias, but like, is AJ Styles his best rival?
Who? In the ring? Yeah, you could argue yes. I know that he's had some really good ones with Edge and Randy Orton. They've had some really good ones. And I know the 2017 one's the most fresh in our minds, but I remember watching that in 2017. Anybody that hasn't seen that match, just go watch it. I believe it was the opener in 2017. Go watch that match. The crowd was so into it. You could argue in the ring, you could easily make that argument that he was one of his best opponents.
He just came alive in against AJ Styles. It was just because that was about a year that he had kind of went back, slid down the card, U.S. champion, open challenge, a role that he really excelled in. But it was like when AJ Styles showed up in 2016 and then into 2017, like you're talking about, and then they even had the match at the Royal Rumble, which was a very good one in and of itself as well. But yeah, I guess all in all, storyline wise, you can make the case, like obviously Edge or Orton or whatnot, but man, AJ Styles really just completely breathed a new fresh and breath air into Cena's character, that's for sure.
Makes you want AJ Styles back as a single star, doesn't it? I mean, like, that's another topic, but yeah, it makes me cringe. Well, not cringe, but makes me antsy for that team to break up and have AJ just kind of go back to where he belongs, kind of like Shayna Baszler. So
pretty much. And, you know, like you said, like, I love Omos and AJ Styles, but AJ Styles, I just think it's just so bad what they've done with him the last year and a half. Pretty much going back to him dropping the belt to Daniel Bryan at Survivor Series 2018, it's like they've never put him back on top of the mountain. And for the life of me, I can't understand why, to be frank with you.
And the time is running out. The guy is not a spring chicken anymore. And, they could probably get one more good run out of him, meaning he could be world champion for like six more months, have a good heel run or a babyface run. He's good at both, and that then maybe call it a career there. But the sun is setting on his career and what he's doing in the tag team division, albeit he is champion or was tag team champion and with Omos. I mean, they could be doing worse things with him, but yeah, this is not exactly maximizing his ability.
No, for sure not. But I mean, at least he gave us that awesome run with John Cena in 2016-17. And that was probably one of the best first years I've ever seen out of a performer. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. Maybe outside of Kurt Angle. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kurt Angle, I mean, like, Kurt Angle. See how many tangents? I'm just going to end it there. Yeah. But yes, you're right. Yep.
It's so easy, but yeah, you're right. Let's just end this before we give another 3 or 4 long hours.
No, exactly. See, guys, we're trying. And I know that many people, you guys go on tangents. I know. We do this all the time, not just on this show. This happens across the board. This is wrestling. This is what happens because everything's interconnected, and you think about one star, and then you go off on that rabbit hole. It's just wrestling. So we really did make a concerted effort to stay on track as best we could. It is difficult to do with a single topic, but yeah, this has been fun. Definitely, you know, as you said, timely. It's been a very relevant a topic right now with John Cena leaving. Once again, I saw the tweet, as many of us did, and I still think we'll see him around January time when things start to heat up for WrestleMania. But if this is his final swan song, then he has easily been the best, one of the best of all time. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah, and you know, even if you didn't like him, he wasn't always my cup of tea, but you just got to respect the hell out of the guy, and that's all I got to say.
Yep. Hustle, loyalty, and then respect him. Yes. So
and hustle.
Yeah, you got to hustle. Yeah, you got to hustle and then be loyal about it and then respect what you did. So, I guess that's how we're going to end it, but yeah, this has been a blast. Everybody, thank you so much for listening, and you have a good night, buddy.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
All righty.